You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 17 October. We've got PSG Financial Services results due later today. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marks, FNB Wealth and Investments. A strong trading update from Quota. Moshe Moyaba from TransUnion. Sales and loan data as vehicle buyers shift more to used vehicles. Zach Callisto from Karoo. A strong quarter, strong first half, and they upgrade their guidance. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. The FIC busts Bankso. Watchdog orders banks to freeze Bankso's accounts as it believes it is a criminal enterprise. Business day, Arsenal Mittal shares plunge on possible capital raise. Swings into a 466 million rand loss for Q3. Morning markets, US is green, S&P up 0.5%, NASDAQ a 0.1% higher. Over in the east, it's mixed. Sydney down 0.2%, Tokyo 0.5% off, Hong Kong 0.5% up, Tencent up 1.25%. Commodities, all green. Gold, 2,694. Brent, 74.49. Platinum, 1,015. Palladium, 1,032. Rand is 17.65. Bitcoin, 67,500. And top 40 opening call, green open, 160 points or 0.2% to the upside.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. The quota update, strong inflows pretty much across all their different channels, put them into a really good Q3. And I got to say, that was after a really good first half as well. They're doing well and stock responding accordingly.
Yes, so momentum is firmly positive on both the operational front as well as on the stock price front. I mean, just for context, I mean, year to date, the stock is up 38% in price, and you've received a 45% total return because they also pay a really chunky dividend. But I think that they have benefited from stronger markets, a little bit more optimism in that UK economy. And then I think structurally, there have been a lot of changes in the kind of retirement saving space in the UK over the last decade or so. And they've been a beneficiary.
And they do, and they talk about potential more changes coming. But we should, in some senses, perhaps, I mean, they've got inflows coming, which certainly helps. But if we look, you know, more broadly at asset managers, markets at highs, which is, you know, across Europe, North America, even Asia to a degree, certainly South Africa, we hit highs a couple of weeks ago. This should help these sort of asset managers as you know, they earn money off the assets under management, and the market lifts them.
Yes, so they earn a fee on the money that's under their management. And if the market is pushing that money higher, that still accrues to the asset manager. A lot of them will then have performance fees in there. So if they outperform the market, they'll earn further fees. In Quilter's case, they also have a wealth management and advice business. So if they get positive inflows, then that is supported. And they have a platform. And the platform also takes a fee that's based on the assets on that platform. So higher markets helping them, and then those inflows also helping them a lot.
I take your point. So, I mean, it's and then particularly if they can also get some, as you say, some performance fees into the equation as well, even better there. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Moshe Moyaba, Vice President, Auto SA at TransUnion. Moshe, appreciate the time today. The latest TransUnion Vehicle Pricing Index for Q2 2024 is out. I suppose to start, tell us a bit about the Vehicle Pricing Index. What is the report? What's it looking at?
Greetings, Simon, and greetings to your listeners. Thank you so much for having TransUnion on your show today. Highly appreciate it. Simon, thank you for that question. But before I go into that, I'd like to mention that 2024 marks 100 years of new vehicle sales manufacturing in the country, where the first vehicle went off a production line in 1924. So this is a huge milestone for our industry, which contributes approximately 5.8% to the country's GDP. So I just wanted to answer that.
If we look at the report, and it's totally blown my mind there, 1924, I didn't realize it was 100 years of cars, and 5.8% is more than I would have thought of GDP. Vehicles as a sector in South Africa is absolutely significant, not just in terms of, you know, we like to have cars, but in terms of employment and, as you mentioned, GDP, and of course, a lot of it's exported. So it really is a critical sector in the economy.
Absolutely. And pre-COVID, there was a time where the sector was contributing 7-8%, Simon. So it's a major contributor to the GDP. But coming back to your question, what is VPI? So TransUnion has been sharing our vehicle pricing index data for the past decade. Mm-hmm. And this really talks to the relationship between vehicle price increases between new and pre-owned vehicles. And we draw this data from 15 original equipment manufacturers, which we call OEMs, mm-hmm. and we utilize South Africa's vehicle asset financing data. So if I were to go straight into it, Simon, indeed, you've mentioned we released our VPI report today. And what does it tell us? It tells us, Simon, that the continued economic pressures definitely affect the automotive industry. Mm-hmm. But once again, I think it's really important to mention that whilst we are reflecting in quarter two, there's been some positive green shoots coming through in the last 2 months. What am I referring to? The 0.25 basis point interest rate relief, reduced fuel prices, and the improved power supply. So whilst we are challenged, and I'll get into a bit more detail on quarter two, whilst we were challenged in quarter two, we're very optimistic as TransUnion, together with our automotive body NAMSA about the latter part of this year. Quarter two was challenging. We saw new vehicle prices drop by 6% year on year, Simon. And that, you know, I often say numbers don't lie. So that coming very close to the vehicle asset finance data of vehicles financed in South Africa, dropping by 3.7% in the previous quarter and 6.1% to us year on year. So those were the challenges, and that just talks to, like I say, the continued economic pressures. But we remain optimistic.
Are we seeing a shift into perhaps more used vehicles as opposed to new vehicles, simply because a used vehicle should be cheaper? It's invariably going to be an easier spending for a consumer.
Absolutely. You know, consumers, including myself, we are really, really tightening our belts under the current economic trading conditions. So it talks to affordability, Simon, and you've asked a very good question there. The trend of customer preference towards used vehicles, you are 100% correct. And this trend actually started post-COVID. So just to put it into context, in quarter two 2024, the price of new vehicles increased by 4.4%, Simon, mm-hmm. with an average vehicle finance number of 400,000 rand, which was a 2.3% increase from quarter one. In the meanwhile, the increase on pre-owned vehicles was a marginal 0.6% on pre-owned vehicles. So it goes to show that consumers would definitely lean more towards pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's another interesting data set here, Simon. TransUnion conducts a quarterly consumer pulse survey. And the feedback that we got from our customers in quarter two is a very strong concern around affordability and cost of living. As an example, in 2024, this year, the average cost of a household food basket in South Africa is 5,324 rand. Mm-hmm. Simon, that's the cost of an installment of a vehicle. So if I put myself in the consumer's shoes, it goes without saying, what would I prioritize? Would I prioritize feeding my family or purchasing a new vehicle? And that is the reality of our consumers at the moment. So it talks to affordability. And yes, there is a preference of pre-owned vehicles.
I take your point. I mean, it's a stark choice, but in many senses, an easy choice. But what we also saw from the report is, and you've mentioned, it's been tough being a consumer. All the stories. I mean, yes, the rates are coming down, the inflation's coming down, petrol's coming down. But, you know, it wasn't for a long time. Yet delinquencies have remained fairly consistent. That says, notwithstanding a tough environment out there, South African consumers are, I mean, perhaps we can credit them with making really good decisions. You mentioned the food basket and being careful with their vehicle purchases.
And this is where there is a glimmer of hope and light at the end of the tunnel. So whilst we see a decline in new vehicle sales, whilst we see a decline in vehicles that are being financed, we as consumers have now educated ourselves and cared and focused enough to manage our credit and credit scores. So the delinquency rate has also declined and improved. So that is the good news story. And what does this mean from a data set and TransUnion's perspective? When, and you've spoken to it, Simon, when inflation stabilizes, when the interest rates continue to give us some relief, and there's discussions, economists optimistic, saying maybe we might have another one or two interest rate cuts before the end of the year, and we maintain the improved power supply and the fuel costs reduce. What happens now is that all these consumers who are now credit focused, when the economy opens up, it now completely shifts their positioning to being able to afford new vehicle sales because they now qualify for it and they've managed their credit scoring over time. And that really talks to how do we bolster the automotive industry, and that'll increase new vehicle sales and we'll be able to reach a broader consumer base. And that talks to financial inclusion. They manage their credit scoring, they qualify for finance, and now we don't exclude as many people as some of the consumers face at the moment.
Yeah, and it does, as you say, it puts us in good stead to, well, to get that 5.8% back in time to pre-pandemic numbers. We'll leave it there. Marsha Mayaba, Vice President, Auto SA TransUnion, really appreciate the time.
And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Motor vehicles. I mean, certainly, Marsha made the point there that we are seeing more second-hand vehicles on the road. That makes perfect sense. We're obviously seeing We Buy Cars do incredibly well here. Your last vehicle that you purchased, was it a totally brand new out-the-box with that nice new car smell or second-hand vehicles for the win? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Zach Callisto, CEO of Karooooo. Results for second quarter and half year ending August. Revenue up 15%. Earnings per share up 31%. Zach, a strong quarter, a strong first half from Karooooo. And in fact, you've increased your full year 2025 guidance as well.
We continue to grow our business. And, you know, we did an outlook at the beginning of the year and we're on track to deliver, you know, what we've promised to the market.
You're in Europe, North America, obviously South Africa is the big market, but your Asia market, and you make the point that you're looking to increase investment in sales and marketing in Southeast Asia. We've spoken before, when you put money into sales and marketing, that typically will get positive results. And you're Southeast Asia, an important market for you.
Yes, it's an important market. We've budgeted to increase our sales capacity by about 70%, which should over time give us, you know, growth of over 30%. So we certainly are very much focused on growing Asia. But having said that, overall, you know, if you look over the last few quarters, our growth, year-on-year growth continues to increase. We're currently at about 17%. The only reason we only got 15% subscription revenue growth was because of the stronger rand, where some of the other currencies diluted our earnings because the rand had got stronger. But, you know, in constant currencies, actually our subscription revenue has grown by around 17%.
What about Europe? I mean, I keep on seeing data out of Europe, most notably France, Germany, Italy, some of the big economies. The economies are struggling, but you seem to be doing just fine. And I imagine it's the service you offer, which to a large corporate is actually a cost saving probably in the medium to long term.
So our fastest growing geographical area is Southeast Asia. Our second fastest is Europe. And we've been accelerating that growth every single quarter. We hopefully will continue growing the percentage of growth, you know, in the next quarter as well. So Europe is our number two, but having said that, South Africa is also on the increase in terms of our growth pattern. So if you look at our growth pattern today compared to two, three quarters, we're improving that. No, we're accelerating our growth.
You're still getting good growth in South Africa. It's been a tough market. We can see that from vehicle sales. I've just been chatting with a guest talking around sort of a shift to used vehicles, but I'm imagining that there's still trackers, car track going into a used vehicle, maybe not a 20-year-old Skodonk, but if I'm buying a 2-year-old car, I'm financing it, and therefore it's still going to use a tracker.
Yes, I think fundamentally, you know, a lot of the businesses, what we've seen with the businesses, they're keeping their cars for longer, the consumers are keeping their cars for longer. And at the end of the day, our solutions aren't really aimed at a vehicle, whether it's new or secondhand. Mm-hmm. It really is just aimed at vehicles. And if you take South Africa approximately 10 years ago, there was 8 million vehicles here. You know, the vehicle park was about 8 million vehicles. Today, it's 12 million vehicles.
Okay.
So even if you can see the congestion on the roads, you know, there are more vehicles. You know, there's more vehicles despite the slowdown in new vehicle sales. And the market is just getting bigger. And obviously, the penetration is getting bigger.
Talking around R&D, your expenses as a percentage of revenue slightly down in the quarter. Is this just something that's going to sort of fluctuate over time rather than a conscious decision to spend less? I can't imagine that there's less to do research and development on.
Actually, we spent more in this last quarter. However, because of our R&D centers do not sit in South Africa, the stronger rand makes it look like you've spent less. In actual fact, we, in nominal terms, we've actually spent more. In rand terms, we've spent less.
Gotcha. Last question. Operating profit margin is still at around the 29%. What is your sort of longer-term target for operating profit margin in the broader group?
You know, if you look at our operating profit, it's really the profile is around 35%.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've got quite a lot of expansion costs as we build our distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sort of targeting between 27 and 31%, and that's the outlook for this year. But that could even drop as we increase our sales and distribution. But over the medium term, we will see 27 to 31, 32%. And over the very, very long term, we hope to get to about 35%.
Your sales and distribution, I mean, it's a cost initially, but of course, then you've got that customer. They're a sticky customer in a sense. It's almost a case of it's an upfront cost, but then the long tail is the revenue.
Well, yes. So the funny thing is about IFRS accountancy, you know, it sort of makes you expense a lot of things upfront. And that is really just to keep, you know, businesses honest. But if you've got a very efficient marketing team and very efficient sales team and everybody's productive, one could argue that these expenses should be able to be expensed over the lifetime of the customer.
Mm.
And, you know, with our retention rate of over 95%, we expect customers to stay with us for well over 20 years. So that's why, once you've saturated the market, your customer acquisition costs would come down and your operating profit would certainly increase substantially.
Yeah, I take your point. But IFRS says, nope, it must all be expensed up front. That's how they want it. That's how we need to do it. We leave it there. Zak Calisto, CEO Karooo. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Hirsch Jovitz yesterday from Jovitz Property about the state of the housing market and what to do if you're behind on bond payments. We asked how your bond is doing. Three quarters said doing just fine, rest split between struggling and needs help. And the key thing from Hirschel, he was saying, if you're finding it tough, speak to the bank. They don't want to take your house and repossess if they can possibly avoid it. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome review and a 5-star rating in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. New Redefine Funding Mechanism.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.